Technology, it's such a big part of our lives. It can be fun, it can be convenient, just like this podcast, which is why University of Missouri Healthcare is proud to support podcasting on KBIA. Technology can also save your life. That's why so many people turn to University of Missouri Healthcare. Its hospitals and clinics offer you the latest technology, plus a medical team whose skill and knowledge are unparalleled. You know technology makes everyday life a lot better. Well, it's true for your healthcare, too. University of Missouri Healthcare, the care you deserve from the team you trust.
Hello, and welcome to Under the Microscope, KBIA's weekly look into stories in science, health, and technology. I'm Raymond Tungekar. On today's show, we'll hear about new food safety regulations and how they could impact grain producers, and learn about a study that looked at online avatars and personal health. New food safety regulations are about to be announced by the Food and Drug Administration. The regulations, covering everything from sanitation to record keeping, are part of the Food Safety and Modernization Act, which became law 2 years ago. While the produce and meat industries get the lion's share of attention, commodity grains now fall under the FDA's watch. Harvest Public Media's Amy Mayer explains.
At DFS Animal Nutrition in Newell, Iowa, Sam Putnam dumps a corn sample from a waiting truck into a machine that measures its moisture. The driver awaits her approval and then moves on to dump his grain. This is one of the many measures DFS has in place to monitor its product, says Leland McKinney, the company's quality director.
Making sure that you have a quality product goes parallel with safety.
The Food Safety and Modernization Act brings the 10,000 grain elevators and thousands of feed processors across the country into the food system for regulatory purposes. And some expect this will entail costly procedures and extensive reports. But McKinney says an elevator or mill that's using rigid quality controls and keeping good records shouldn't be intimidated. Inside the North Mill here, McKinney likens mixing feed to making a cake. You start with the dry ingredients. Think of corn as the flour of your cake.
This is where the inbound ingredients come in that are minor.
Your baking powder, perhaps, or salt. Here it might be vitamins or medicine. The scales are on the next level.
Okay. All of those gets weighed out and then brought together in your mixer.
The electric mixer here could swallow up your KitchenAid. Its capacity is 6 tons. Workers oversee each precise step from a windowed command room with 5 computer monitors. Each hour, this mill can produce 90 to 100 tons of feed for swine and turkeys. Medicated feed processors have already been subject to federal food safety inspections, but the Food Safety Act means grain operations of all kinds will now be visited by inspectors. Iowa State University professor Gretchen Mosier says often workers at grain elevators don't see the mounds of corn around them the same way the law does.
They don't think of it as potential food for either animals or humans, so they don't see, you know, things that they're used to seeing. You know, oil dripping down into the pit and rats, dead rats, etc., you know, laying around.
Yes, rats. Because she says where there's grain, there will be rodents. Till now, they've been viewed largely as a threat to profit. They eat the grain, not safety. It's worth noting that bulk grains have a solid safety record. The new rules are not a response to problems, Mosier and her colleagues say. Rather, they're an effort at defining the food system holistically. Back to those rats. Elevators have pest management plans, but now an inspector might ask to see receipts from the pest control company. Mosier says more meticulous record keeping can improve product and increase profit.
When you manage the quality of your product better, you can see a fairly significant return on your investment, almost a 2-to-1 return.
But system-wide, Food Safety Act cost estimates are significant. The National Grain and Feed Association's David Fairfield says he's heard $1 to $2 billion for human food facilities and $100 to $200 million for animal feed. For smaller operators or places that don't already have sufficient systems, the cost of complying could shut them down.
There's no question that increased regulations are one driver for consolidation.
And failing to comply now has consequences. Under the new law, FDA inspectors have the authority to impose fines. That's something they haven't had before. And it means the Food Safety Act is not only broader, but also stronger than older food regulations. Consumers won't likely notice any changes, but the impact on grain handlers may depend largely on how prepared they are. I'm Amy Mayer, Harvest Public Media.
Elizabeth B. Morowitz is an assistant professor in the University of Missouri's Department of Communication. She recently conducted a study that looked at online avatars. These are virtual representations that people can create of themselves in games like Second Life. KBIA's Dana Schnazy sat down with B. Morowitz to discuss her findings.
What got you interested in this study? How did you come upon it?
I was really interested in understanding about how these avatars, so the way we represent ourselves online, could actually potentially impact us offline. So there's this theoretical line of research that has talked about the idea of self-presence. And so self-presence would be this view of an avatar or an online representation of yourself as being truly an extension of yourself, so that you're engaged with that virtual representation, you feel that that virtual representation is a part of you in some way, and that the more present you are then with your online self, that that might have real consequences and implications for your offline identity. So that's initially what I wanted to study.
So what did the study entail?
So I was interested in getting real Second Life users, so people that are already using this virtual world. And so I disseminated a survey online, and this was an international study. But I asked them whether or not their interactions with their avatar had affected their dieting behaviors, their exercise behaviors, their styling, so appearance kind of behaviors offline, as well as how they feel about themselves. And here we saw some of the pro-social effects emerge, so that they reported that their avatar made them feel better about themselves, which I wasn't initially sure that it would. Perhaps if you have this idealized version of yourself online, that would make you feel worse about yourself or your body offline, and that's not what I found in this study. And I wasn't necessarily anticipating this. We've seen with other media in the past, when you compare yourself to an idealized image, let's say in a fashion magazine, that this would have negative effects. And so I was surprised by that positive effect. I think we also need to be cautious about that as well. I do think there is potential for some negative effects of avatar interaction online.
So are you kind of going to then continue this study or studies with avatar? Is that what your interest is in right now?
Yeah, so I'm really interested in looking forward now, maybe a little bit more specificity in terms of some of these health outcomes and being able to follow people over a longer period of time to look at actual health change based on their avatar interaction. And I'm also interested in extending this research to look at issues of diversity. So whether or not we can use virtual environments or virtual worlds like Second Life for diversity training initiatives. So being able to take on the role of someone that's different than you and perhaps would induce a more sympathetic viewpoint of that person.
And that'll do it for this week's Under the Microscope. To hear this episode or listen to others, just check out our website, kbia.org. I'm Raymond Tungekar. Thanks for listening.